Garden Talk live at KSRO. I'm Steve Garner, along with Gwen Kilcher. Delighted to have in the KSRO greenhouse Chuck and Linda Gowdy. Chuck's been growing fruit on his property just south of Sonoma for close to 40 years. He's got some 60 different fruit trees on a little bit over an acre, and has experienced probably everything that any fruit tree grower can experience when it comes to fruit tree growing. Last hour, we had this quick question about coddling moth. There's no 100% effective way of controlling it. You can certainly hang the traps, either a combination of in or near the trees to monitor the male population. Once you notice activity in there, you want to remove those, destroy them to make room for more. Also, you need to rebait the lures occasionally, too, don't you, in the traps, the pheromone traps, make sure that they're still active. Is that correct?
They seem to last all season.
They do? Okay, they last all season. There's banding. We've talked about this before, using the corrugated material around the trees which trap the larvae. That can be possibly effective, especially if the trunk is smooth. Of course, if it's pitted and stuff, then the larvae can probably hide in there and not get trapped in the corrugation. Some people spread tanglefoot, I know, on the bottom of the trunks also to prevent the larvae from moving up the trees. That's another way to do it. Also, some people actually bag the fruit. That seems like a lot of work, but I mean, some people do. There's no 100% guarantee. Most people do not want to use pesticides and sprays. They want to keep things organic. So you need to monitor and control, and you need to hang the traps up early in the spring when the activity is getting started.
So just before bloom.
Right before bloom. And once it has it, it has it, correct? I mean, once it's embedded into the fruit, you're going to have damaged fruit. But does that mean that all the fruit needs to be thrown away, Linda? You do all the canning.
No, I certainly do use fruit that has damage in the middle. You know, some people want real pristine fruit if they're canning halves or quarters. But for applesauce, pear sauce, and, you know, you can just cut around it. It takes a little more time. Uh-huh. That's the only thing. Adds a little more time to your prep. But you can really use the majority of the fruit
so
if you're willing to do that.
Just do a little bit of labor. Mm-hmm. No, they're not going to be picture-perfect photo play fruit, but they're edible and delicious and safe to eat.
Exactly.
Okay. It also affects Asian pears, the moth?
Yes, they do. They love them.
And you have Asian pears on your property, too?
Yeah, we had about a half a dozen or more, and they also are susceptible to fire blight, even more than apples. Asian pears really are suffered. So did the European pears.
What was the first fruit tree you planted 38 years ago?
Wow. There was one tree there. It was a quince.
A quince tree?
Yeah. And we found wonderful things to do with quince.
Like?
Well, one thing is make a quince paste and roll it out on flat, maybe a quarter to 3/8 thick. Mm-hmm. Put cheesecloth on it, sit it outside, and let it dry. It takes quite a while. Mm-hmm. Linda's the expert on that.
You make the quince, they call it membrillo.
Membrillo.
In Spanish.
I hate the day membrillo.
Yeah, and so it's not difficult. It does take time to do.
It just takes time, yeah.
And it keeps pretty much forever, doesn't it?
It does. I just wrap each little section well in wax paper tightly and store it in the refrigerator. And it's very delicious served with cheese.
Yeah, especially like a Spanish manchego or something like that.
Yes, that's my favorite manchego.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that quince tree still producing?
It still is.
Oh, so here's at least a 40-year-old tree.
Yeah, it looks a little rough around the edges, but those things are very hardy.
So that was there. You inherited that one. What did you plant when you first got the property?
Well, we had moved from Auburn in the foothills of the Sierra, and so we had an orchard there, and so I used some of the ones I knew about and a lot of the Sacramento Valley ones. I put in the royal apricot.
Oh, that didn't make it.
Didn't work.
No. So I gradually, that's when I transitioned to cool season varieties.
So you gave up on apricots?
I still have a couple more, but they don't do well.
Okay. Nectarines, peaches?
I have nectarines. Those are wonderful, especially the dwarfs.
Do you know what varieties you planted?
Well, the dwarfs of nectarines and peaches don't seem to have the familiar variety names. They have different names.
Okay.
And I don't remember them now, but I was reading in one of the nursery catalogs that the genetic dwarf nectarines are very susceptible to leaf curl. But my two are not. They're the most resistant things I've seen. They might get one leaf or two.
So you get good crop on those.
Wonderful, yeah.
So and apples, peaches, nectarines, got this quince. What else? Pears, Asian pears.
A lot of Asian pears, and we also like the seckel pears, which is a small,
that's a great
very
pear.
Sweet pear.
Oh, man, like candy.
Yeah.
And do you have, so do you have European pears also as far as, and Asian pears?
Yes, but the European pears, I've been going to the resistant varieties. There's for fire blight. There's one called Warren that is very resistant and still makes a wonderful pear. Not quite as nice as a Bartlett. It's not as yellow, but it's very good, no doubt about that.
All right, so we've got that. Any other fruit trees we've missed?
Well, we have some things that are less common, like jujube.
Oh, you plant those, huh?
Oh, sure. We love them.
I always call them jujubes.
Well, that's how it looks when you see
it. When you see it spelled.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the correct pronunciation is jujube.
Jujube.
The accent on the...
What do you do with those, Linda?
Well, we mostly eat them. We have two varieties. Mm-hmm. One you eat fresh. It's a crisp one. And the other one you allow to turn red and dry. And that's also known as a Chinese date.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. I know that term, the Chinese dates.
Yeah, the varieties are Lang is the one that goes for dry. Supposed to leave them on the tree, and they'll dry on the tree. But occasionally a bird will take a few. Mm-hmm. So last fall, I picked them, just laid them on the counter, and they eventually dried out. I ate the last one last week.
Wow, that's labor-saving right there. Set it and forget it.
And yeah, what's the edible one called?
Li, L-I.
L-I, and yeah. L-A-N-G is the other one. Okay.
Yeah. And I really like the fresh one to eat off the tree.
They sound like two panda bears, don't they? Li and Lang? Okay, so we have the jujubes.
Yes.
Not jujubes. I've learned something
today.
That's
right, jujube.
Been saying it wrong all this time.
Yeah.
The Warren pears, which is more blight resistant.
Yeah.
And what's your, if you had to pick, it's like picking your favorite child, your favorite apple.
Favorite apple? I would have to go with it's a variation of Fuji. It's called Benny Shogun.
Benny Shogun?
Yes. B-E-N-N-I-S-H-O-J-U-N. And
how'd you run into that one?
I was in the Rain Tree catalog, and it's I had planted a Fuji apple before. We mainly like sweet apples, and it never has done well. And we're far now south of Sonoma. We're in the Carneros wine region, which is very cool afternoons during the summer. And the Fuji just didn't like it. They didn't mature well. So if you're in a cool area, Occidental, Forestville, or any of the other cool areas in the county, I'd suggest going to Benny Shogun instead of Fuji. It was developed up in the state of Washington as a low summer temperature version of Fuji. It is actually a Fuji, but it'll thrive in cooler summers. And it also comes in a dwarf form, and that makes it easier to reach all the apples. and dwarfs produce earlier.
Oh.
And they usually produce more per area of when you compare them to much bigger trees.
And when you say dwarf, we're looking at 6-8 feet?
Yes.
Approximately?
Yeah.
So, Willie, with just one ladder, you can get all the fruit off that tree pretty easily.
Yeah, most of the time you pick them from the ground.
How's the taste?
Very sweet.
Does it make good pie, Linda? Would you make pies with that?
Yes, you could make pies with that, yes.
Benny Shogun. Had you heard of that one before, Gwen?
No. No, but I am going to look it up. I'm going to buy it from this Rain Tree Nursery.
An encyclopedic amount of knowledge from Chuck Gowdy and Linda. They're growers, fruit tree growers, orchardists in the eastern portion of our county out in Sonoma, a little south of Sonoma. Special guests on Garden Talk today. If you have fruit tree related questions, of course, they're here to talk to you about those selections and varieties and pruning and insect control and all the other multitudes of issues when we're trying to grow great fruit. And Gwen, of course, Kilcher, who writes the popular plant doctor column in the newspaper, the first and third Saturdays with Dana, right? Dana Lozano. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that column's in the paper today. He's here to answer any and all gardening questions to 11 o'clock today. Raghavan Iyer coming in. What did Steve just say?
Yeah.
Raghavan Iyer. He is a magnificent Indian chef and cook who just has a new cookbook out called Potatoes, Mashed, Smashed, Boiled, and Baked. Everything you'd ever want to do with a potato. And he'll join Chef John Ash and me on the Good Food Hour at 11 today. This is KSRO.
The Drive with Steve Jackson. Weekdays 3 to 6 on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Hey, it's time to plant bare root fruit trees, and everyone knows nothing is healthier and tastes better than hand-picked fresh fruit off your own tree. Come into Urban Tree Farm Nursery and choose from a great selection of the best-tasting varieties of apples, cherries, peaches, plums, pluots, pears, and much more. See our homepage for the latest availability. Do you need help in laying out your own backyard orchard? Visit UrbanTreeFarmNursery.com and check out our fruit tree help link to help you grow your own backyard orchard. You can also see the latest videos on how to plant, prune, and maintain your own fruit trees. Are you looking for products to protect your trees or shrubs from the cold? Urban Tree Farm has a selection of frost cloths and sprays to protect your plants from freezing. Although the best time to plant a tree was 10 years ago, the next best time is now. Urban Tree Farm Nursery. We're not just trees anymore. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook for all the latest releases, info, and deals.
Hi, I'm Janine with Sonoma County Go Local. Here are two Go Local members, Sean with Revive Kombucha and Lisa with Community Market.
You know, I think the relationship we have with Community Market is, you know, part of our root system we have with Sonoma County and the Go Local Co-op.
Right, I think it's what we've all been searching for as an alternative to, you know, the larger markets, just to find a way to choose who our partners are in the community, in business, and do things our own way and keep the local dollars circulating on a local level. Our customers are your customers too. I mean, it was such a natural fit in that way.
And then we were able to support you when you opened up your Sebastopol market. That was great to be able to be part of that and help work some product and, you know, help set up the coolers and to lay that out. Just really deepening those community relationships.
You just heard from two Go Local members. If you're a local business owner, consider joining Go Local today.
For more information, go to golocal.coop.
Dr. Tom's work is truly world-class.
Introducing another grateful client of Dr. Walter Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center in Santa Rosa.
I'm a flight attendant, and believe me, when it comes to plastic surgery, I have seen it all. Luckily, my friend told me about Dr. Tom's website. I took a look soon after I met him. I was immediately taken by his warm and authentic demeanor. I love that he only uses local anesthesia. That made all the difference to me. I decided on two procedures, breast augmentation and Botox. Now, whenever my girlfriends see me in a bathing suit, the first thing they ask me, after they tell me how amazing I look, is where did you go? I want that. My answer? Dr. Walter Tom in Santa Rosa. He and his staff are the best the world over, and I've been all over the world.
For your free consultation with Dr. Tom, please call 542-8346. That's 542-8346.
Look younger by Monday.
Call 542-8346 or visit Dr. Tom's Aesthetic Laser and Vein Center on Stony Point Road in Santa Rosa or online at Laser and Vane.com.
Sonoma County's News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Opportunity for you today to pick the brain of Chuck. That's a terrible sounding thing, isn't it? But that's what we're doing today to Chuck Gowdy, who is a orchardist, fruit grower east of Sonoma here in Sonoma County. It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO. So glad you're listening to the program this morning. A lot to learn and be jazzed about. Linda Gowdy's also with us, does a lot of the canning, and certainly he's right there next to Chuck as he harvests and prunes and selects and plants fruit trees over the last close to 40 years. You can reach us right now, no one on hold, at 636-1350. Of course, we're focusing on fruit trees, but any general gardening questions, we'll always take those. Gwen Kilcher anchoring the show as always. You can also reach us via email if you want to send a photo of a fruit tree you would like discussed or maybe some diagnostic feedback. Steve at KSRO.com. So let's say I have a small backyard, Chuck, and I really want to plant a fig tree. Is there anything that might fit in my small backyard?
There is one variety that I have. It's called Neverella, and I'm not sure if it was intended to be small, but it has stayed so. One thing about figs is they're on their own roots. They're not grafted. So that's a common thing that why there is dwarfs and semi-dwarfs is they're grafted on a rootstock that is growth-limiting in some way.
Good flavor on these Neverellas?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you do with those, Linda? Do you just eat them fresh?
Oh, just eat them.
Yeah. Don't make fig jam or anything like that.
If we have enough,
yeah,
we do, but...
Just have one tree?
Of that particular one, but our all-time fig is it's actually called Nana's Fig. That's Linda's grandmother's fig tree that came from Humboldt County. And it was brought down as a cutting, and we just stuck it in the ground, and it gets enormous. But it's one of those great big green figs that's red inside.
Those. Oh, my gosh,
and
I know
when they
that
get
fig.
Ripe, they kind of hang like a big tick bag.
Did you say tick bag?
Yeah. That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, I love those.
And we've never been able to find out exactly what variety it is. But I bought another fig, and it was called White Genoa.
I was just going to say, it sounds like the White Genoa.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
And so I got that and planted it, and it produced, and I said, wow, that just looks like the other tree. But that's really a misnomer of a name of a big red or red inside fruit.
Yeah.
Don't know where the white would come from.
So this one came, you brought a cutting down from your grandmother up in Humboldt.
Yes.
Stuck in the ground. Isn't that amazing how figs really do
yeah.
produce from something stuck in the ground?
She could, when it made little shoots at the trunk of the big tree, she could, you know, get those so that they would have just a hint of a root on them and they'd grow.
Unbelievable. Wow. So that tree's been in the ground how long?
Right from the beginning.
Right from the beginning.
35 years?
Yeah, at least 35.
I've split it off. I have another one there.
Tell us more about other favorite pear trees that you have growing.
Well, in addition to the Asian pears, I'm starting to... Since the Asian pears are really susceptible to fire blight, I've been looking for resistant varieties. And... The favorite Asian pear tree, the one you commonly see in the stores, is the Nijiseki, which used to be called 20th Century Pear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a nice, smooth, yellow mm-hmm. one. And that one's pretty susceptible. I have two that are still hanging in there. But another one, Kiki Sui, is similar. It's still a yellow, smooth fruit. And it... It gets fire blight, but not as bad as the others. And there's some others that I just started planting. There's the Korean giant, and it makes a softball-sized fruit. It hasn't borne fruit yet, but it is resistant. And there's another one similar to that, that it, for pollination, that is also resistant.
You had mentioned also the ambrosia.
Yeah, that's a European pear that's mm-hmm. very sweet.
I've never heard of that one.
Me either.
But it does well and is fairly fire blight resistant?
Yeah, it has been. And I haven't seen it on the list in the nurseries lately. So some of those things come and go.
Okay, so to encapsulate, if you want something that's the most fire blight resistant, you said the Warren pear has done very well for you.
For a European pear.
For European pear, yeah. The Warren. And the Ambrosia does pretty well also?
It does, yeah.
Okay.
So far.
So far. And Asian pears, not as good a luck overall. They're pretty more susceptible to fire blight.
Yeah, well, there's a variety called Shinko, which is a, sort of a russet skin on it. It's a little rough. But it gets it a little bit, but not near as severe.
S-H-I-N-K-O. Shinko.
Shinko,
okay.
Yeah. It's not as sweet as the yellow varieties. It's a little, it gets orangish with kind of a russet looking.
I never hear of anyone having much success growing cherries. Did you mention you have a cherry tree? Do the birds leave it alone?
Well, I have a few bird techniques.
Oh.
Not shotguns.
Oh, okay.
Tempted, but what I use for birds is mylar banners. They're about 2 inches wide, and you get it in a roll.
Mm-hmm.
The things that most effective is I use the pool skimmer pole that's very long, 14 feet, put it up through the middle of the tree, and you tie 2 to 3 of the banners that are about 30 inches long so that they're free to fly above the tree completely, not get tangled in it. And then the cherry tree is also big. And then I take other rods like PVC pipe or something like that and shove them through, with leave some sticking out so it can drop the banners on that. And it slows them down.
Okay. So you get enough to make a pie, Linda? Enough cherries?
I have some cherry jam left.
We did make cherry jam, and we made one cherry pie.
Okay.
For several years, it produced very well, and insect and disease free. And then all of a sudden, one year it had the western
that fly,
fruit fly.
Yeah, the fruit fly.
They were in there. The larvae were inside, and it also had brown rot.
Let's take some calls, but first they'll tell you what we can take a call and go to and internet. We got something from the internet and we got something online. So let's take Gail's call first. Welcome to Garden Talk at KSRO. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning.
What can we do for you?
I live in an area in Santa Rosa that gets freezing a lot in the wintertime near Bennett Valley. And so I move all of my citrus into my greenhouse that I possibly can fit in there. They're in great big pots. And this year, for the first year, I had a Ponderosa lemon, and I went in one morning, and here all of the skin on one side had been obviously eaten off. And so I quickly picked the other two and put a couple of rat traps because I figured it was a rat. Well, the rat traps did not work. Nothing seems to be picking it up. Mm-hmm. And now the critter is eating the leaves off the top of my Ponderosa lemon. And then I noticed it had also been eating the leaves, not the fruit, of my Meyer lemon that was in there.
My money is on the rats,
mm-hmm.
because that's what's been happening to our citrus, and we have been very diligent about putting the rat traps out. There are several types of rat traps, and they're really smart, too. You know, it seems like it takes a while for them to get caught. Try using peanut butter or almond butter.
I use peanut butter.
We've hot glued gunned dog food to it, so as they try to pull it, then they get nailed.
And actually, it was effective. Yeah, that was one I'd never heard before, is the hot gluing the dried dog food, the kibble, onto the rat trap.
And then
how about dried cat food?
Anything. Yeah. We've even used hot glue gunned almonds. So anytime, because when we just, I used some of my horse food and I sprinkled it on top of it. Well, they ate every little piece of grain without setting off the trap.
So, yeah, that's what I noticed.
Yeah, so put a few of them out there and make it difficult for them to get the, you know, the bait off of that trap. There was somebody that had called also about those electronic traps where they go into the box there and they step on that metal plate and get electrocuted.
That sounds great.
They're expensive.
It does work. They work very well. But now you're going to look at $40 to $50 for this trap. But we had one caller. What did he get? Six or eight rats within 10, 12 days.
Yeah.
Every day he got a rat.
Yeah.
So, oh, my goodness. Well, my husband said if I just opened the door to the greenhouse, then the rat would go out.
No, he knows how to go in and out. Believe me, there is ways for them to squish down to nothing and squeeze under the door, or they're climbing up somewhere and coming down.
I'm sorry to tell you this, but the rat is actually probably as smart as your husband.
Probably watching. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, just be persistent, and eventually you'll get them.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, honestly, there's really no magic answer. It's persistence. Yeah. We've been dealing with this for years, and it seems like every year the rats get smarter. I don't know what it is.
Well, I thought it was because it was in an enclosed space, and so it had nothing else to eat, and so it started eating the leaves.
Yeah, well,
my husband said, oh, no, it's something else. It's probably a squirrel. I said, no, I don't think so.
No, I'm pretty positive it's a rat. You could invest in one of those little those trail cameras that my husband got, the little motion thing, and we've been shocked at what we've been seeing. Even during the day, under our deck, we had no idea of the wildlife parties that are going on under our deck.
We looked out the kitchen window yesterday, and who's eating out of our bird feeder? A rat.
Really?
Yeah.
A rat.
He had jumped 2.5, almost 2 feet from the bushes up to the bird feeder. 2 feet. So now I've got to go out and... Well, I'll start trapping again, but I also have to move the bird feeder up a little bit. Anyway, they're smart. We do rat talk all the time on Garden Talk, don't we?
And this year seems to be a pretty bad year.
We have to take a break, but thank you, Gail.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Let us know when you catch them.
Okay, we'll be back. And, of course, Chuck, I'm sure, has foolproof ways to catch rats since he's a master gardener, so we'll find out about that.
We have rats in the garage, but not in the orchard.
No?
Wow.
Seriously. I thought that would be rat paradise in an orchard.
Yeah, you
lots of great fruit to eat. Anyway, we'll talk to Micah when we come back about apple trees, and we have David like a word with us about pear trees, and we have a internet photo from a listener who's got some citrus problems too. Chuck and Linda Gowdy in the KSRO Greenhouse joining Gwen and I. A wonderful, wonderful Saturday morning. Thanks for inviting them over, Gwen.
You're welcome.
Great having them on the show today. They've been growing fruit trees for close to 40 years out in the Sonoma area.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm Steve Kerr, and this is the home of Golden State Warriors play-by-play, 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO.
Does healthy eating habits fit into your New Year's resolution? Then shop the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market for fresh local produce. It's important to know where your food comes from, and you can meet the local farmers and ranchers who raise quality, locally grown food products for you to enjoy. At the market, you can savor a variety of delicious prepared foods. The market offers fresh local ingredients for healthy dinners, a variety of quality meats from beef, chicken, and pork to rabbit, along with seasonal fruits and vegetables. Taste the local goat cheeses from Two Rock Valley Goat Cheese. Sample the wonderful baked goods, jams, spices, and pastas. Everything you need to create memorable, healthy dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Open year-round, rain or shine, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
Hi, I'm Robert Haley, superintendent of Cotati-Rona Park Unified School District. We're proud to be a district creating innovative programs, opening schools, attracting students, and preparing them for college and careers. Our vision is clear. All students are entitled to a successful education. Our focus is learning, and we are a team. We have many exciting programs and opportunities at all of our schools designed to provide an enriched education and meet the needs of all of our students. We are thankful for the tremendous community support we receive, which helps make our schools special places for children to learn. We have strong academic and enrichment programs, magnet programs, and distinguished schools from transitional kindergarten through high school. So we encourage you to visit one or more of them as open enrollment begins this month. Come see what we have to offer. For more information, check out crpusd.org. Happy New Year, Sonoma County. Let's have a great 2017. Cotati Rona Park Unified School District. Learning for a lifetime. Committed to the future.
There are over 172,000 licensed real estate agents in California. 172,000 possible outcomes when it's time to sell your home. If you want to sell your home faster, for more money, with less hassle, call Mike Kelly and Allison Norman.
I've been selling homes full-time in Sonoma County since 1978. Allison and I will build a strategic marketing plan to help you sell your home so you can list it, sell it, and get on with your life.
We know how to position your home for maximum appeal, when to launch the campaign, and how to use every tool in the arsenal, online, offline, on the air, and in the air.
With drones.
To put your property in front of people who are ready to buy.
Show us your home and we'll show you three quick and easy tips to make your home look better to buyers, even if you don't use us.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. Call Mike Kelly and Allison Norman, the Kelly Norman Team. Don't forget to listen to Mike and Allison on the Real Estate Hour, Sundays, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on KSRO.
The State Department's reversed the cancellations of visas for foreigners now that a federal judge has put President Trump's travel ban on hold. For now, it appears that people covered by the order who are holding valid visas can travel to the U.S. Vice President Pence told a conservative legal group today that President Trump's Supreme Court nominee will be seated one way or another.
This seat on the Supreme Court belongs to the American people, and the American people deserve a vote on the floor of the United States Senate.
He told the Federalist Society that they will work with the Senate to ensure that Neil Gorsuch gets an up or down vote. The cleanup is underway in Suffolk County, Virginia, after a train derailment this morning. It spilled coal in the city's downtown section. No injuries, though. The new class of the Pro Football Hall of Fame is being introduced today at pre-Super Bowl festivities in Houston. You want a ticket to the game? StubHub says people are paying thousands for a seat. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Mostly cloudy with a shower or two for today at 57 degrees in Linden on the coast. A bit of rain tonight, low 47, 51 on the shores. Mostly cloudy with a little rain for Sunday in Linden and Bodega Bay. Monday, a bit of rain at 56, 62 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
I'm Steve Garner in the KSRO Greenhouse. Chuck and Linda Gowdy from the Sonoma area sitting with us. They're fruit tree growers, orchardists, close to 40 years here in our county. Gwen Kilcher anchoring the show with me, taking calls at 636-1350. Chuck was telling me he put out some flashing solar lights made by a company called Night Guard. Is that correct? You can get them online?
That's right.
And you said they're pretty effective. They flash and scare off at least a lot of different animals. You have to put them at the height of the animal, so you have four or five of those around the property. And they also make a superior quality Mylar. Is that heavier duty Mylar?
Yeah, the one we mentioned earlier.
And so it rustles nice and loud and would scare birds away.
It does.
From
it, it flashes light into the house, too.
Oh, it flashes. Oh. Keep your drapes closed. 636-1350,
yeah.
We'll go to calls, and then we'll go to some internet questions also for Chuck and Linda. 636-1350 or Steve at KSRO.com. David, you're up next. Thanks for holding. You're on the show. What can we do for you, David?
So, good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, make it short. Private property, old vineyard. They had planted pear trees, I'm guessing back in the 40s, and they have not been maintained for years, but they still bear really good fruit. And this is old, unmaintained stuff. What can I do with the trees?
Well, just any of the fruit tree management of pruning. And the main things on pruning are to take out the dead material, any diseased limbs and deformed. One thing about pears and apples, the fruit is produced on fruiting spurs, so you don't want to cut those out.
How do I determine what are fruiting spurs?
That's a good one. Sometimes they're obvious, sometimes they're not. The easiest ones come off the trunk or the larger branches. The ones further up, they're a little harder to see, but you kind of have to observe how they appear. They actually will bear fruit for several years off the same spot.
Okay. Yes, that's true. I've been going out there for years, and it's pretty much the same. This 2 years ago was bumper crop. Last year was nothing.
Well, some trees are cyclic. Apples are particularly cyclic. They might have a big year and then a small year. Pears, usually not so much, but when fruit trees have a lot of fruit on them, sometimes the second year they'll just kind of back off a bit. So
all right.
I think there's a number of factors too with the growing season and the climate that might have changed also. So I wouldn't worry about the differences between years.
All right. One thing, we live off of Greenville Road. I got 14 rats in 2 weeks.
Whoa.
Well, what's your secret?
Bacon grease and peanut butter.
Wait a second. Bacon grease and what?
Peanut butter.
Bacon grease and peanut butter. Well, you know, that would get me. Okay. And just the regular spring traps, right?
Yep.
Okay. Bacon grease and peanut butter.
Big Victors.
Victors, the old Victors. Yeah. Thank you for that tip. Good hearing from you. Appreciate it, David.
All right.
Okay, so a success story. How many did you get? 14?
14 2 weeks.
Phew. That's good. Give us a couple tips on selecting fruit trees.
Well, there's a number of things to look out for, and one would be picking a size of tree that fits in with your property. Fruit trees come in sizes from standard to semi-dwarf to dwarf, and now they have mini dwarfs.
Mini dwarfs.
Yeah, they're made to so put them on the patio and take them in at night, things like that, or in the winter rather. So making sure that you have room for the tree, the standard fruit tree that usually you buy at the big box stores are standard, and they'll be can grow to 20 to 30 feet. The semi-dwarfs are more like 15 to 20 feet, and the dwarfs, at least most of them, will stay under 10. But I've had dwarf almonds twice just leap into tall growth. The root restricting root system will stay small, then it just bulges out. And so those didn't really stay as dwarfs.
Any other tips for selecting fruit trees?
Yeah. I think one of the most important things is get an idea what kind of insect and disease problems are in your particular area, and go for resistant varieties, particularly for leaf curl and for fire blight.
And they would say that on the tags, right? So if somebody wants to look for a disease resistance, they would say, you know, say Seckel variety pear, resistant to fire blight.
And it should say that.
So that's
yeah.
how we would know what's resistant and what's not.
Right.
Okay.
And you can also, there's other references. The California Rare Fruit Growers Association, their website is crfg.org. And I consider them the experts on a lot of these things. They may not cover a lot for common fruit trees, but for the others, they do.
Mitch, good morning, and thanks for holding. Welcome to Garden Talk Live at KSRO. What can we do for you, Mitch?
First of all, I want to thank you for your expertise and your eloquence and your level of knowledge. And secondly, I had a strange encounter. I was standing in line for Piney the Younger, and I looked behind me, and Seamus O'Grady was there.
The spirit of Seamus, yes.
Never leaves me. My question pertains to two apple trees. One is a local rendition, which I believe is a Gravenstein, and the other is a Red Delicious. They're roughly 8 years old, and I've kept them at approximately 6 to 7 feet. I went to a symposium at Friedman's, where I shop rather than the big box guys, and they'd indicated that cutting them back all the way to the old wood was the best way, instead of the stuff that now is maybe 18 to 24 inches tall and looks like some of it's budding and some is a year old. Do I cut those all the way back? And then my second question pertains to, I have a house in the old Dutton prune orchard, and I have a tree that I adore, but it's full of suckers, and it has still the original rootstock, but they're a little tiny yellow plum. It tastes like a plum and apricot. I don't know if I can graft to that. I don't want to yank it out because I'm emotionally attached to it after 30 years. So pruning of the apple trees, and what could I possibly do with that old plum tree to resurrect, because I think it's either an old prune or a Santa Rosa plum.
Yeah, those are scattered around the county. The call them cherry plums and other things. I assume they're mostly escaped rootstock, and most of the time they don't make anything really tasty. But you can graft on any of the prunus varieties. You can put almonds and plums and cherries, and there's a couple more.
Peaches?
Would I graft and cut the suckers all the way off? And the base of this fruit tree is probably 4 feet in diameter.
Oh my gosh.
And I've taken all the dead wood off of it, but if I don't prune it every year and pollard it, they grow 2 feet. So do I graft to the original branches that are coming off that are maybe 2 to 4 inches in diameter?
Well, that's a little big. Usually you look for something more pencil size or...
Oh, I mean, but to take the pencil size graft, but graft it to the branches that are 2 to 4 inches versus the base of the rootstock.
You can. You can train up one of the suckers from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
One that looks vigorous.
Okay. Well,
you can probably try all those things till they get going, and then you can thin it out to narrow it down.
And then the first question about the apple tree.
How far do I prune back the new growth that's a year old? A year old.
Oh, seems like the guide was, you don't take it all off. You leave 30 to 40%, something like that.
Okay, and cut below the buds at an angle and all that good stuff.
Right.
Okay, last tip for you guys.
I'm sorry.
You want to cut above the bud because you want to leave the bud alone.
Okay.
If you cut below the bud, then you're going to cut the bud off.
Okay, but do the angled cuts like I do with my bonsai so the water doesn't run in, that type of thing, right?
I don't even bother with the angles because I just prune so fast and never had a problem. So,
okay. You
know, you just want to the best thing to do is make sure you don't cut too close to the bud. That's your problem. So cut about a quarter of an inch above the bud.
Okay.
And
there you go.
Last but not least, a little tip. I trap in North Dakota, and I trap rats here. I live in Northwest till they're coming out my ears. And I'm not even going to get into the quantity, and I think some of them are attracted to my compost pile, which now I put netting over hardware cloth. But I take my traps after a week, and a little over barbecue, take some green wood and some newspaper, which we do with our traps when we're out trapping in North Dakota, which isn't going to be held well by PETA and all this, and smoke the traps. And I use the same thing, peanut butter, salami, whatever. But smoking the traps gets the human scent off them, and you can use the same one over and over and over.
Wow. Thanks for that tip. Never heard that one before.
Hey, you can smoke a lot of things in Sonoma County, but not many people smoke rat traps.
Mitch, you go down in our Hall of Fame. Thanks for your call.
Right next to Jim Grady. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Well, that's a good place to take a break and mull over smoked rat traps. It's Garden Talk Live at KSRO.
Coast to coast, late night, all night, on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Did you know the largest RV dealer in the North Bay is now celebrating 25 years in business, and they're right here in Petaluma? Reed's Trailer Sales on Old Redwood Highway in Petaluma has over 200 travel trailers, fifth wheels, and truck campers. Now is the time to make the best deals of the season, and Reed's will match any show deal on comparable models. Also, Reed's Trailer Sales is looking to consign your late model motorhome, travel trailer, or fifth wheel. Let our experts sell it for you. Reed's will get you top dollar and save you all the time and hassle. Or they can pay you cash on the spot. The largest RV dealer with over 25 years in business is right here in your own backyard. Reed's Trailer Sales in Petaluma. Call 792-9100 or on the web at reedsrv.com. Reed's Trailer Sales, now accepting consignments.
Reed's. You should buy your trailer at Reed's. A fifth wheel travel trailer or utility. You should buy your trailer at Reed's.
Reed's Trailer Sales.
On today's SoCo Sun Show, I have a feeling we're going to talk about starting anew.
That's right. The new year is always a good time to make changes. Why not cover an outdoor patio for entertaining or expand a room for more usable space?
David, your crew at Sonoma County Sunroom certainly has the experience to offer a great variety of options.
Well, I'm happy to say that's true. And now is the perfect time to start planning for spring. Contact us at SoCo Sun. We'll come out and see the space you have in mind and discuss the options.
Your showroom also lets customers see exactly what you can do.
Absolutely. We have many displays on site and photos of our past jobs. Start your project today by visiting us on Santa Rosa Avenue, just north of Todd.
Get your project booked in January, and Sonoma County Sunrooms will provide up to 35% off and a $1,500 factory rebate. See more at SoCoSun.com. SoCo Sun, design, installations, remodeling.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to GEICO than saving you money, GEICO also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the GEICO app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Celebrate the Lunar New Year with more ways to win, only at Creighton Resort and Casino. Win up to $10,000 at the Red Envelope Giveaway every Friday at 9 p.m. Earn more entries every day when you play your favorite slots and table games. Plus, you could win big cash or free slot play in weekly slot tournaments. Creighton Resort and Casino's Lunar New Year Celebration. Complete rules available at the Reward Center.
There's no place I'd rather be.
Well, we've done a pretty good job in covering Chuck and Linda Gowdy's Fruit Tree Kingdom east of Sonoma. Thank you both so much for coming in. This was wonderful meeting both of you, Linda. Yeah. So how many cans of applesauce do you have in the pantry at this point?
Right now I have about 50.
Oh, my goodness. Wait, I want to know, how big is your pantry?
It's huge. It's huge. It's a huge, big cabinet.
Yeah. And what else do you can besides applesauce?
We can peaches, mm-hmm. and... sliced apples,
nice.
Lots and lots of jam, because Chuck eats a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day.
Okay.
So we have many,
he's eating
many,
one now.
We have many, many varieties of jam and jellies, yes.
Do you grow berries? You didn't mention berries. No?
We do have raspberries and some blackberries, the thornless stock. And
oh, you do?
Yeah. I haven't quite kept up with them in recent times.
they grow well?
Yeah.
Minimal
problems?
Pretty well.
It's just weed control problem.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
And do you do any spraying at all during the year as far as prophylactic spraying, any fungal sprays or preventative things like this, or dormant oil spray?
Yeah, only the one I try to go after is brown rot that's on the cherries and plums. And that varies from year to year, and I try to hit that with a copper-type spray. Sometimes I make it every year, sometimes I don't.
Okay. And you still do all of the pruning of all your trees?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow. No, not going to let anybody else take over that job.
No.
Wow. Gwen, anything else that we've not covered? I've covered pretty much every fruit tree I can think of.
We need to have him back because we didn't talk about persimmons.
Oh, no, we didn't talk about persimmons.
Nut trees.
We didn't talk about nut trees. But do you have nut trees growing?
Only a couple.
What do you have?
Several persimmons, but I have almond and walnut.
How do they do?
They do okay, except the squirrels make it difficult.
On both almonds and
both
walnuts?
Both of them, yeah.
So have they gotten worse?
Yeah, they've... years ago, we didn't have any, and they stayed far away, but now they're in there.
Well, word got out. You know, now they're here. And not much to do. You don't shoot them. You don't trap them. You just live with it. And
I'm working on some schemes. But
not ready to divulge his plans yet. And persimmons, how many of those do you have? What varieties?
Varieties we have are the common one, the... Achia, that's
big,
non-astringent one. I mean, astringent one, I'm sorry.
That's the one that eaten soft. That's the elongated one.
Yeah, and another one is a Fuyu, which is the one that ripens on the tree, and it's kind of like an apple. And they're all the persimmons also have a chocolate persimmon that's a little brown on the inside and a little bit sweeter. And... there's many things that you can do with persimmons that we dry them and they make great jam and many other things. But one of the things we have done on occasion is it's called hoshigaki. It's
that's the Japanese style of drying them.
Yeah,
very labor intensive. You have to hang them from a string and. Massage them. And do you do that, Lynn, or does Chuck?
He massages them.
Do you actually do that?
The hoshigaki? I did the first time. And I found that you really don't have to do it that often. You just kind of have to move them around once in a while.
But you have to peel them, meticulously peel them, and the conditions have to be right to do them. We had a hoshigaki master on from Oto Nurseries up in Sacramento area.
Yeah.
You know Oto? So they were on the show maybe 10, 15 years ago. Grandma was on, 90 plus years old, who's since passed away, and introduced us to hoshigaki. And then a few years afterwards, a place in Cloverdale, a private person decided to do their own hoshigaki seminars up in Cloverdale. And for several years, you could go and learn how to do hoshigaki. And I have a wonderful, close Japanese woman friend that makes these. She's from Japan and will gift me a small package of hoshigaki, beautiful dried persimmons every year.
It sells for about $40 a pound.
And when you understand the labor involved, because some people go, well, I'm not paying this kind of thing. I understand. See what's involved. And then you'll understand why they charge what they do.
There's an area of persimmon orchards near, it's on the road from Auburn to Lincoln. And the person you just mentioned made an appearance there. They have a sort of a persimmon gathering each year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I watched him do it. So
it's beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful. So that's another... pastime that you both share, making the hoshigaki persimmons. Well, that's a good way to say thank you for coming in, Gowdy.
Thank you.
Mr. and Mrs. Gowdy. And thank you, Gwen, for bringing them in. It was wonderful, really piece of Sonoma County orchard history here on Garden Talk today. Yeah. See you next week.
Okay.
Okay, coming up next, it's everything you ever wanted to know about potatoes with Chef John Ash and Steve Garner in the KSRO kitchen. It is KSRO Santa Rosa.
This is 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO, K27 HCD, Santa Rosa.
This is likely to go to the court of...